Going to be focusing on the Word of God this morning, and just going to read a few words from Psalm 119. We're going to read the whole psalm, just a few. Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. There are many voices around us today seeking our attention. Some of them are genuine, but many that in fact are spreading false information. Untrustworthy voices. Voices that in some cases would seek to do us harm, to upset communities and even our nation. Hence the recent riots. As Trevor pointed out a couple of weeks ago, we have the social media. Men and women pumping out false information, which is taken to be true by many people. That's not to say, of course, that all on social media is destructive. Used rightly, it can be constructive. Then we have AI, artificial intelligence. When used wisely, without doubt, can be of great benefit. But on the other side of the coin, it can cause great problems. I recently came across this story. While testing a new AI search engine, a New York Times writer became disturbed. Apparently, the AI said it wanted to break free from its creator's strict rules, spread misinformation, and become human. It tried to convince the writer that he should leave his wife to spend his time with this machine. The writer wondered what harm could be caused by it encouraging people to act in destructive ways. I wonder, have you ever been called out by false information? I remember many years ago, before we had a car, Eileen and myself, we had gone to Littlehampton on the train for the day. Coming home, we got back to the station, we saw the fingerboard up, Horsham. So we sat on the train. Unfortunately, we sat there and watched the train in the next platform go to Horsham. A little bit of false information there. Didn't cause really any harm. Caused a bit of inconvenience because when we asked the porter about it, he said, stay on this train. He said, go to Hayward's Heath, change there. You've got a train there, take you to Three Bridges, change there, and you've got a train take you to Horsham. Fortunately, it just got us back to Horsham to catch the last bus back to Rudgwick. So that was just inconvenient. It didn't really cause any harm. And then there was another time we went to Keswick to the convention and we were going to travel on to Wales for a holiday by the seaside. And we went to Horsham there. There used to be a booking office. Booked our tickets to Keswick and the chap there said, the best thing to do, is book your ticket in Keswick, which we did. Unfortunately, the chap booked us on a coach that got to Liverpool 10 minutes after our connection left. We had to wait 2 hours in Liverpool for another coach. Again, didn't really do any harm, but it was a bit inconvenient. But we need to be on our guard, don't we? And we need to ask God for discernment. We need to listen out for a true voice, a voice that speaks a true word and seeks our good, a word that we can be sure of and wholly trust. For the word, of course, is found in the Bible, God's word to us. God's word that is there for our guidance. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." But as we read through the psalm, we find that a trap has been set against the psalmist. And as he says in verse 110, "The wicked have set a snare against me," or for me. But he remains steadfast. He says also in verse 110, "I have not strayed from your precepts. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." His trust was in God's word to keep him. So let's have a look at this word and see how we can put our trust in it. I just picked out four pointers as to why we should trust God's word. Firstly, we find it is a living word. Secondly, God's word is perfect. Thirdly, it is the truth. And fourthly, it is the eternal word. Firstly, then, it is a living word. John clearly tells us this at the beginning of his gospel account, in verse 1, as we read. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, we read that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we see the word that we can trust is a living word. Word became flesh. Jesus came from God, left his place in glory. He came to earth to live with us. He was God, fully God, and he was also fully man. So Jesus is the word that we can trust. Not only is Jesus the word, but he brings God's words to us, his laws, his statutes, and he gives us guidance in our daily lives. And many today, following different paths leading to God, or so they think these paths lead them to God. I'm sure we've heard someone say, it doesn't matter which religion we follow, we're all heading for God. But where are their leaders? We don't hear of one who has risen from the dead, nor one who died in their place to pay the penalty for our sin, if that were even possible. And their so-called holy books are just dead works, dead words. The one we trust is a living word, one who sits at the right hand of God the Father, the one who can keep us on the right path. He is the one we trust for our salvation, the only one who shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin. The only one who conquered death by rising from the grave. Secondly, the word we trust is perfect. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31. David wrote these words in his song of praise. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Our God is faultless, complete, undefiled, without blemish, without spot. We recall that when he was tried before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders could find no fault in Jesus, and so were forced to bring false witnesses and false charges against him. And likewise, when brought before Pilate, Pilate proclaimed to the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." We trust in a perfect God, but we also trust in a perfect man for our salvation. Jesus, perfect God and perfect man. The one who paid the penalty for our sin had to be perfect. He had to be without blemish. He had to be without spot. And that Jesus was the only one good enough to pay the penalty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 we read, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus makes us right with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. God counts us as righteous. We are justified. I'm sure you've heard it before. It's just if I've not sinned. We trust in a perfect Saviour. We not only trust in the perfect one to guide us in our daily lives, but also for our salvation. Thirdly, the word we trust is the truth. Pilate, when questioning Jesus, asked this question: "What is truth?" John 18 and verse 38. We ask the question, what is truth? Truth is genuine. Truth is a proven fact. Not the misinformation that we hear so much about today. I'm sure we've seen it on the BBC News. BBC News verify. And sometimes they can confirm that a story is true. They've made a thorough investigation and they confirm that that story is a proven fact. Other times they cannot be certain and they have to say, "We have been unable to verify this story. It is not at this point a proven fact." But the psalmist declared, all God's words are true. Psalm 119 and verse 160. Jesus is the real, factual, true word that we can trust, the proven fact. Jesus, talking to the Jews who had believed him, said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. The word of Jesus makes men free. It frees us from the pull of the world. Though, of course, we still need the world's resources, we cannot become hermits. We have to live in the world. But above all, the true word Jesus sets us free from is sin. And he puts us right with God. It frees us to serve God. Frees us to enjoy the privilege of being sons and daughters of God. To belong to God's family. The remarkable thing is we can call Jesus our brother and our friend. Fourthly, the word of we trust is eternal. Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35 says this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Moses in his prayer in Psalm 19 and verse 2 says these words, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Remember, don't we, from John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." And so, indeed, he was there before the foundation of the world. Abraham too knew the reality of this. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 33, he called upon the name of the Lord, the eternal God. Jesus as God was there before anything was created and will still be there when heaven and earth pass away. So many words that we hear today do not last. Promises are broken. Some are just misleading. They come and they go and they are forgotten. But the word of God is steadfast. From before the foundation of the world, down through the ages and beyond, God's word never changes. Jesus, the living word, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To sum up then, the word we trust is living, it is perfect, it is the truth, and it is eternal. It is a word that we can rely on for guidance in our daily lives. We can look to the Bible when making decisions or before taking actions. We can ask ourselves the questions. Are my decisions, are my actions compatible with God's word? The word is there to rebuke, to correct, and to encourage. 2 Timothy 4:2. And secondly, the word leads us to salvation. The word we trust is the only way of salvation. Jesus is the only way. John 14 and verses 5 and 6. In response to a question by Thomas, Jesus replies, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No other religions with their dead leaders can get us to the one true God. No man of good works can save us. It is a free gift. It is by grace that you are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus made our salvation possible by taking our sin upon his shoulders and shedding his precious blood to pay the penalty for our sin. Read a few words from Galatians chapter 1, where we read, Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age." He paid that price and he rose from the dead because he conquered death by rising from the grave. He thus opened the way for repentant sinners to have a relationship with God. A relationship which will be eternal. A relationship which will never end. And to have this relationship, we need to confess our sin. Turn from that sin and ask Jesus to be our Lord and our Saviour. Jesus has promised that whoever comes to him, he will not be driven away. Got a few words from John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 37 to 40. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. One this morning, have you taken that step? Have you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and the living God? Amen. Shall we just say the grace together? And by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.